Get me for free. Courtesy of Yelp for Restaurant. Tools and tactics are what's going to make you successful in 2024. Yelp for Restaurants has the tools you need to scale your restaurant this year, and I'm here to help. Sign up for a consultation with Yelp Guest Manager and get a free one-hour coaching session with me. In our session, we'll dive deep into your restaurant and build the blueprint to overcome your current obstacles and scale your profitability. You can sign up for both free sessions by simply going to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp today. I'll see you soon. Now here we go.
And we're not going to just integrate with one point of sale system. We're going to integrate with them all so that all these folks, all these restaurateurs can have the best of breed team management solution that integrates seamlessly with their point of sale.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. If someone was to ask me what is the most common issue that comes up for today's restaurant owner or operator, it would be labor. Finding great people, effectively managing that talent, and retaining those individuals sits at the forefront of our minds. Few industry experts have a more unique vantage point into our labor crisis than Jordan Bosch. Jordan is the founder of 7Shifts, a labor management tool revolutionizing the way we onboard, manage, and retain our teams. Today, we sit down with Jordan to discuss what's working for his restaurant clients and how to get the most out of our scheduling software.
So the path that led me to creating 7Shifts was really about trying to help my dad solve pain points around scheduling and managing teams and people. And he owned some Quiznos locations where I got to see firsthand the challenges that he faced on a daily basis, and really just got to work trying to build something small and rudimentary to try and fix the pain points that he was going through. And honestly, as an employee of my dad's locations, it was something that I felt I should be able to just check my schedule online. Like, why do I need to phone the store? It's so crazy. So that's really where the idea was born. I ended up going to school out east for a multimedia diploma program that I took. And part of that was immersing myself deeper in web development and just trying to learn as much as I could to build websites and then eventually applications. And then I got a job at a web agency where I was doing exactly that, which was a lot of fun, and got to work with some great people. And then 7Shifts was not even called 7Shifts at the time. It was just an employment app. It was very generic, but it was starting to catch some momentum from just being online and available to other people on the internet. Yeah, then it kind of took off from there. It started snowballing, but really born out of an idea of actually experiencing the problem firsthand.
When did you decide to take the entrepreneurial leap? What was involved in that decision-making process?
I don't even know that there was a defining moment for me. To my core, I just love solving problems and I love solutioning and kind of going through that work to solve those problems. And so there wasn't a moment where I was like, hey, I read this book on entrepreneurship. I want to be one. And what do I have to do to be one? Do I have to build something? It was sort of like I innately just have a building mindset, and that manifested its way in a variety of ways throughout my childhood. And I built other small apps as I learned to program, and just I put things out into the world and getting customer feedback. I think if you really pare it back, it just comes back to a pure joy of solving problems and building. I think at the core, that's what I love doing. And so the fact that that means at some point you're an entrepreneur, great. But really, those are kind of the core defining traits for me that led me here.
And I understand that the initial inspiration came from your father, but I mean, there are a lot of industries that could use this type of solution, right? And you chose our industry, which is the industry with probably the least capacity to pay with consistency. What kept you with restaurants when you realized that it's just a long, hard road and it's hard to get market share?
Yeah. And for a little bit of background, Josh, and not many people know this, but when we were starting Seven Shifts and there was just the three of us, we said, okay, well, we had some early investors that were in the medical space. And we said, okay, you know, maybe we can do something here. And they said, we're going to push it in and we're going to try and make this work and help you make the connections in the medical space. And we thought, this sounds great. And all the while, we were still doing kind of retail restaurants and these other verticals. And what we found was, although an industry like being in the healthcare space could pay substantially more than a restaurant operator could or was willing to pay for maybe the same product or something close to, it was just next to impossible to actually get a deal done. And that was just a very eye-opening moment for us. And we just said, like, well, there is this cool opportunity, but, and we're trying it. We were so early days that we weren't really focused yet on restaurants. But then after that, it was really clear to us that, look, let's really serve an industry that has just been more or less neglected from a technological view. And there's going to be opportunity there. And people would often tell us, well, why restaurants? They can't pay you anything. They're not going to pay for anything. You're not generating revenue for them. And we just sort of said, like, but that's the reason why we're going to build for them, is because no one's built anything for them because of what you're saying. And it was sort of like this, a bit of a, at the time, I think people felt like we were almost like going against the grain trying to build a solution in the restaurant space. But we just saw it as a massive opportunity where we could add a ton of value. And we all had backgrounds working in the food service industry, so we knew aspects of it that we could add a lot of value to. And I think it was also timed appropriately with some of the other up and coming restaurant technology companies and point of sale companies that were just starting to gain some traction. And so while there weren't intense tailwinds at the time, there was certainly some momentum building around the focus of technology in the hospitality space.
I want to talk about awareness and penetration. As a restaurateur, I think so often you're around for a year or 2 years. You know, I was based out of Los Angeles. And so, you know, your restaurant's been around for 2 years. And if it's slow, you feel like the community knows. And they voted that they don't want you to be around, which is difficult and it's a hard pill to swallow. But I would argue that more often than not, it's not true. That people don't know you exist simply because you exist, and that market penetration is probably harder than most founders could ever realize, that awareness is this massive mountain that takes years and years to summit. I think a lot of tech founders think the restaurant industry is a great industry to target because there are so many of them, not realizing that if you have 1,000 restaurants on board, it's because you literally pitched 1,000 different people, because the industry is that stratified. Talk to me about your hurdles around awareness and penetration, what your strategy was to build trust and fidelity within an industry that candidly doesn't like to be sold. Because I think that there's a lot for restaurateurs to learn through that process.
Yeah. It took a while, even after just saying we're going to be restaurant focused, to really build up, to your point, the awareness and the brand that people knew us for. And that takes years. That takes a really long time. But that's only one part of it, though. So yes, we did very tactical things like partnered with certain restaurant blogs, or we would compete on restaurant scheduling keywords from the SEO side. And we'd do some podcasts with restaurant folks. So we did some very specific restaurant things. Now, how much of that drove things? It's hard to really quantify that perfectly to some degree, because there's a lot of organic stuff that comes with building up the brand. But what I would say is that's only a piece of what that success sort of looks like. And if you dig deeper and you attract someone to the brand, they feel like it's for them, and then they sign up for the product and they try the product. If that product sucks, they're not coming back, and nothing you can do about that brand is going to repair a bad product or a bad experience. It's like that new restaurant just opened and it's getting a ton of hype and you go there and the food was horrible. You're not going to go back there just because another newspaper said it was good. or another article said it was good because you tried it and it wasn't good. And so for us, it's like you have to match the quality of your brand to the quality of your product. And so we invest a lot in that side of things and making it simple, making it easy, making it so that you can just get in there and go. We still have such a long way to go to kind of achieving what the level of simplicity I believe we should have. And the good news is we have amazingly smart people to help us do it. But man, it is an ongoing thing that is the biggest challenge. Building a great product is not easy. And I really do believe that in a world where you're competing on feature checkboxes is kind of the old world to a degree. So what I mean by that is product A has this feature, product B has this one, check, check. Oh, but product A doesn't have that product A feature. So X, oh, I'm going to go with product B. That is an overly simplistic way of evaluating a product, because in the old way, when you're selling to the enterprise, large organizations, maybe they bought based off the checkboxes and then they implemented and they said, you have to use this, and they're shoving it down everyone's throat saying, you have to use this tool. And everyone's complaining about how bad it is to use, but it doesn't matter. We signed a 2-year deal with this vendor. And that world is very fleeting. And that's why I think we're seeing the caliber of products increase, is there's so much competition now. So I think there needs to be such a big emphasis on the usability, simplicity, and at the core, making sure it's solving a true problem. And it's not just one thing here or one thing there that is going to make that experience great. It's likely a bunch of experiences that they have. And it's the joint experience, right? And coming back to your experience at a restaurant, if you had an amazing plate of food, but the hospitality or the service was terrible, that affects your overall experience and how you feel going into that place. And so that's what I mean by it's like a series of things that need to happen where you experience a product, you have a great support experience, then this product ties really great into that one and it feels flow and it feels easy and simple. Then when you go visit the knowledge base of looking up how to do something and the videos are really clear and they're intuitive, and all of those things have to really join and meet for that experience to be a really strong one. So a little bit of a long-winded way of riffing off the brand and awareness and getting into the actual product itself, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
You have a really unique vantage point with which to view the industry and our current labor situation. You manage labor professionally, and we have found ourselves in a labor crisis since, I mean, this is just my humble opinion, but probably since 2018. Where do you see things, and where do you see things going based on your unique perspective?
My perspective hasn't changed a whole lot as it relates to labor and teams. I think we're obviously, it's a very high turnover industry. It's seen as sort of like a very temporary thing in some cases where folks are going back to school, or there may be other reasons, but a lot of these managers and operators have gotten used to thinking of people coming in the door and it just being a bit of a revolving door. It's like, okay, you know, one person's in, the other person's out, got to go get back to my stack of resumes, find someone, and just keep the revolving door going and keep going through my stacks of resumes. And that's just become a behavioral norm. And I think that bigger, larger, call them multi-unit operations that have specialized roles where they're looking at financial data and trends and all of this stuff have an advantage where they're saying, wow, if we could save 3 months a person where they like stay longer with us, that is a huge benefit. Or the output of engaged staff has a meaningful input on our, output on our sales. And those are things that are very much talked about at larger organizations and probably less talked about at independent operations. We'll call it the mom-and-pop restaurants. And so I still believe that thinking is going to continue to make its way down into them, and tools are going to still become readily available to help these folks make great decisions on how to run their business and the emphasis that needs to be on teams. And it's sort of like a few things need to happen, right? The tools need to be available, but the mindset needs to be such that they're willing to believe the tool and they can show them tangible results, and maybe it becomes table stakes. I think of the pandemic when COVID hit and every restaurant was suddenly on a third-party delivery service. And that was a massive forcing function that forced these folks to kind of adopt this technology. And they were exposed to it. They were exposed to more things of how they could operate their business. I'm not arguing whether it was good or bad. It was a thing that happened that gave them more exposure to what's out there. And we did have a number of folks that said, when we asked them why they're talking to us, they just said, I think it's time for me to just look at what's out there. And I'm curious. And I think we need more of that thinking of, I'm curious, I want to understand within the independent realm, because I think there is a coming moment where that's going to be very, very relevant. And so as I think about teams and people in the industry, I do think that we have a duty as a software provider and partner to the restaurant industry to say, okay, here's what your team looks like today. Here's what productivity looks like from your team. Here are some folks that are highly engaged. Here are some folks that are becoming disengaged. Here's what it costs when you lose someone. And you're likely to lose Josh because he used to clock in on time. He used to pick up all his shifts. He used to communicate frequently with his teammates, and now he's not. And he's giving up all his Friday shifts, which is weird because that's when he makes the most money. And it's just something you may want to check in with him and see how he's doing. And I think even those small nudges to just encourage these new managers to say, hey, Josh, how are you doing? And open up the dialogue and having more conversations around how they're feeling is going to be pretty important in table stakes as people think about where they want to work. You probably want to work for someone who cares. And despite it being a temporary job for you, if it is, or if it's a long-term job, whatever it is, your experience under that employer should be a meaningful one. You should learn something. And the employer should also obviously benefit from your skills being contributing to the overall business. And it should be a good joint partnership and effort to help each other. And I think that that's the future I'm excited about and continue to work towards. And I don't think we're fully there yet, but I'm excited about how that will change within an industry that I think we all very much care deeply about and all agree that it's a super, super important industry for our economy and for people to learn skills in.
You brought up several things that I want to dig a bit deeper on. And so the first is tools. I literally this morning, I was on a coaching call with a client that uses Margin Edge to control cost of goods. And they were talking about they're struggling with inventory levels and all of that. And I was like, well, what does it say in Margin Edge? And he was like, oh, well, we don't do inventory in Margin Edge. I'm like, then why do you pay for the software? I would assume that as a tech founder with software for the industry, one of your greatest frustrations is probably underutilization of the software itself, that it can do so many things that could benefit the lives of restaurateurs, and they don't do much of it. That being the case, what are the tools that you see that you provide that are probably most consistently underutilized that could increase value in their day-to-day lives?
Honestly, it's some of the things that I feel that are underutilized within even our own product are honestly some of the things we were just kind of speaking about too, which is the Engage product, where there's so many interesting insights around your staff and their happiness levels and their satisfaction levels. And granted, we are seeing increase, which is aligning with what kind of the market research is showing, is that a lot of these hourly workers kind of crave some of these ways to engage more and to learn more and to be more top of mind as it relates to the work that they're doing and the employer they're working for. So I think the Engage tool is underutilized in that we know tangibly who's maybe has one foot out the door and who you should speak with and some of the feedback that comes in. And it's just so valuable. And it goes beyond just you scheduling names and shifts on a spreadsheet. The actual interactions that you can have, that you can facilitate between worker and yourself as an operator, is so meaningful and powerful. And on one hand, I'm bummed that not every single person is using it. On the other hand, we're seeing growth within it, which is very promising. But yeah, certainly one that I want 100% adoption, because it's where things are going. It's what people need to do to be competitive and create and foster that culture of learning and growth and making sure that, again, regardless of if you're in this long-term or not, you are working at a place and you are getting experience there, and it should be a valuable experience and one that you feel you can learn from it and that you're kind of learning together. And it's an exciting part of the product that I think we're going to see more usage out of as we go.
Let's talk about need, because I would assume, and I've spoken with several tech founders over the years, there are assumptions made about like the needs of, let's say, the restaurant industry or an individual restaurateur. But as we've seen, especially over the last 5 years, those needs have changed dramatically in the last 5 years. The industry itself foundationally has changed a lot in the last 5 years. And I would assume as a result, the software has changed as well. Talk to me about, from your perspective, the evolution in the needs of a restaurateur and how your company has had to adjust to meet those needs.
We're seeing more folks that want to do more things in one platform, which is understandable, right? No one wants to buy 20 different software vendors, and I get that. And so where we started with scheduling, we were more of a point solution. And with so much in the market to choose from and so many people selling things, I think there is a bit of like fatigue within operators of like, oh my God, there's so much out there. What should I use? Oh, it's this much. Oh, well, like it's just so much to kind of research and dig and price compare and all that stuff. So the change that we saw, the biggest one that I had seen, which is probably not a surprise to many, is that there's more consolidation happening. And I think that when you have folks like us, where we say, okay, well, we're not just scheduling, we're end-to-end team management, hiring, training, scheduling, paying, retaining. We just launched our tip payout product that moves money in real time to worker bank accounts. We have a tip pooling solution that funnels into our payout product. And then we have a payroll product as well. So we're now the only company that can do the following one in one system, which is schedule your shifts, clock into them, pool your tips automatically, pay out your tips directly to the bank accounts, and then funnel all of that, this kind of tax rules and everything into your payroll system, and then run payroll all in one swoop. And so that was what we were migrating to kind of meet the needs that we saw where people wanted to do a lot of those in one system. And granted, we did not dive into the inventory realm. That's not our realm, or the accounting realm. That's not really our realm. But we just said, we carved out team management and said, this is our realm and we're going to invest in this like crazy and do it insanely well. And we're not going to just integrate with one point of sale system. We're going to integrate with them all so that all these folks, all these restaurateurs can have the best of breed team management solution that integrates seamlessly with their point of sale. And I think on the flip side, you have point of sale companies saying, well, we're going to do everything. We're going to build it all in one. And again, I think the intention is good. I just think it's extremely hard knowing all of the things that need to be done and done well for restaurant operators is where do you draw that line of how deep you go? Because you can say we have it all, but you don't go very deep in it. And that is also misleading in some ways to the operators with what they think they're getting. And so while on one hand, I think the point solution is not enough, I also think saying we do absolutely everything under the sun, you just go too shallow. Whereas I feel like where we're playing is this sweet spot where we can go deep in our respective domain and provide a really great solution for all these operators that plug into a variety of their different systems. I would say that is the biggest change that we've evolved to, but it was always part of our vision that we were working towards as a company. So we were working towards this regardless and hoping that we could just eliminate other tools that people were using to try and do it all in one.
Let's talk about that all-in-one idea. As a professional marketer myself, I spend a lot of time focused on the customer journey because I think that's how you make money. I think the way you keep money is by focusing on the employee journey and making sure that that is fruitful and memorable and valuable to them. And that's your area of expertise. So you've obviously built out a solution and solutions around it. But describe for me, from hiring through offboarding, what the best case scenario looks like, in your opinion, for an employee?
I think the best scenario for an employee really looks like full end-to-end journey for them in a seamless way, and also for the operator. Because if it's not easy for the operator who's paying the bill for this tool, then they're not going to use it and the employee won't get to experience a great journey. So I think just to start off, I would say all product development around things that are employee journey focused, where your buyer is the operator, it needs to just be a teeter-totter. You're constantly shifting development resources to serve the employee as well as the employer. And from the employee's standpoint, they're getting, as soon as they're browsing a job post on maybe the website of that restaurant, they apply to it. It kind of funnels into what would be 7Shifts. So our system, if they get the interview, it's scheduled. The employee gets a text saying, hey, Josh, here's some schedule, some times available, pick one. You pick it, it's locked in. You show up for your interview, you nail it. They basically go back into 7Shifts. They say, Josh is hired, and they kick off onboarding, at which point you get a message of the docs and you just fill them out on your phone nice and quick. Maybe take any pictures of ID as well to upload. And once you're onboarded and you complete that, you submit it and you kind of get your kind of welcome package. Welcome to the team. Here are some basics around the menu. Here's some stuff you need to be prepared for on your first day, that sort of thing. And maybe a message to the team that says like, hey, everyone, Josh is joining. Feel free to like say hi here in like a group chat, and makes you feel really good and excited to know that people are excited to see you on your first day. And then going from there, and the manager comes back in, schedules the shifts, includes you. You work those shifts. Then you make tips. So those tips are pooled automatically. Because you were onboarded with your banking information, you're getting your tips paid out directly to your bank account if that's how the other restaurant is set up to do it daily. And then you're still on the maybe a biweekly payroll cycle. So that'll also hit in a couple of weeks. But I would say in addition to that, the last piece is the retention piece, which is the ongoing feedback on how you're enjoying working there. Any feedback you have for during your shift or for management, and management checking in with you periodically or in some sort of cadence to make sure you're doing well, and having those discussions of your goals and what you want to learn here and how long you're going to be here for. And I think having those open conversations are just really, really important and valuable. So to me, that's what a really great journey looks like for the employee and really making them feel welcomed. I would probably stress that piece.
Another retention tool is culture. And 7Shifts started out as you and two other guys, and now it's scaled to this massive thing. And so in the early days, I think it's really easy to infuse culture when you've got to indoctrinate 5 people, 10 people into it. But as you scale to hundreds of employees, I think scaling culture is hard. What have you learned about building culture over the last several years?
I would say it's ongoing practice of your values. And I very much like to steal Danny Meyer's quote here of culture is the sum of all the behaviors you champion and celebrate minus the ones you tolerate. And I think that's just a really great way of framing it, culture in sort of like a calculation. And so what we do and what we focus on here is we have 5 core values: be radically candid, embrace new challenges, act like an owner, make every experience an 11, and solve with simplicity. We have folks in sort of a routine where if they feel like they've encountered a really great moment where someone demonstrated that behavior, they submit it to an app that we use. And that gets posted to a Slack channel, and there's a story there. And every month I read through all the stories that were submitted, and I pick one that I feel best resonates with how that culture and or how that behavior is being displayed, and think that that's a really great example. And then I read it in front of the entire company of who nominated it, who was being nominated, and what it meant to them to demonstrate that value. And I think that ongoing practice of it is something that's really important. And the saying of, as you grow your company, you'll have to communicate 10 times more. It's so true. And you have to do that with your values as well. And you have to call them out, and you have to be vigilant about when they're not being adhered to. And you have to give people that flexibility to call other people out when they're not in line with the values, and making sure that you're encouraging that. I would say when you have a really strong set of values around that, it's palpable. Someone comes in and they're oil and the rest is vinegar. It's just like, you know, it separates and everyone goes, oh my God, like it's like a repulsing behavior that takes place where it's like the team rejects that person, not because they're not a good person, but just they don't adhere to the behavioral norms that we determined are the cornerstone to being a shifty at Seven Shifts. And I think it's important to practice them on an ongoing basis and try to hire leaders based on that. And I've made mistakes around that point specifically where I've hired leaders that don't match the values. And some I was quick to action and some I wasn't. And those are things that I lose sleep at night over and that I have to deal with and that I have to fix. And I can fix them. And I think that it's just so important that no matter what, you can't lose your values and your foundational elements that are the very building blocks of how you scale and how you build a business. And so if you do that, the water becomes too murky and then people can't call each other out about what's acceptable and what's not. And then you've kind of got water cooler talk happening and it becomes a little bit toxic. And so you really want to try and make sure that it's either black or white. You don't want a bunch of gray water in there. It's just so hard to manage. And you end up having to make some big swooping changes when that happens. And that's also very turbulent for the rest of the people that work here when you have to do that. And so again, such a big emphasis on it, very hard to manage on an ongoing basis because it's not just one person. It's the whole company that has to do it. Us that are making decisions around hiring, there are mistakes that happen, but it really comes down to how fast do we correct those mistakes.
Looking forward, how do you see AI influencing your business and our industry?
AI, I think, has got some really interesting promise. And I don't feel like it's going anywhere. I think there's some really great advancements that can be really helpful to a number of different industries. As it relates to the hospitality industry, I think what's going to be really important is if, as it relates to customer-facing things, I think that we need to figure out how we balance those feelings of things that are, we don't lose ourselves in the technology. We still put an emphasis on people and customers, and people still feel that hospitable experience. But how do we use AI to make that customer experience a much better one? As it relates to Seven Shifts and our product and platform specifically, I think that there's some really exciting stuff that can be just done around voice and the automation of scheduling and making decisions around how that schedule is being made. That's something that's exciting to me. And just think of being in your car and you're like, hey, Siri, call mom, or hey, send this text. Are you sure? Do you want to confirm? Yes, send. And that type of interaction, when you're on the go, as many restaurant operators are, if there's a lot of trust and belief in what these systems can do once they become automated by something like voice, I think that becomes really powerful. Build next week's schedule. Oh, there's a conflict between these people. Do you want me to put this one in this person? Yes, continue. Yes, publish schedule. I think there's a lot of things that can be done without sitting in front of a screen to do it that could actually make the lives of operators much better.
That sounds so nice. It really does. It sounds so nice. Oh my goodness. I lost myself in it as you were talking. I was like, because I could just see myself doing it. I was like, oh my God, what a paradigm shift that would be. So I've got one more question for you, and then I promise I'll let you go. There are tens of thousands of independent owners and operators listening right now. Do you have any advice or words of encouragement that you'd like to share with them?
Absolutely. For operators that are listening, I hear you. You're probably being inundated with a lot of different tools right now. I think it's important to not only do some research on the capabilities of some of these tools, but even some of the background of folks that got into this space, because you mentioned Margin Edge earlier, Josh. Bo, who runs Margin Edge, he runs a restaurant too. And some of these folks that are getting into the space and building software are from the industry and have a deep attachment to solving problems in this industry. I think that can go a long ways when it comes to partnering and thinking through vendor options. I also think looking for great products that integrate really well together is important. And when you're talking to or researching that product and you have X point of sale or you have X payroll or you have, try and understand how that ties in. And if you're not sure, try and get someone on the support team or the phone to try and help you understand that, because getting things that are going to integrate with you or that are pretty seamless is a great way to start. Because at the end of the day, even if you start with a tool like 7shifts for scheduling, and yes, we do payroll, but you don't have to make that decision right now. If you get your foot in the door with a product that's simple, easy to use, and well integrated, you may find other products within that suite that are going to allow you to consolidate other pieces of software. But that's only after that they've earned your trust by delivering and a great product, a simple experience, and great support, which I think is really, really critical to establishing a and finding a good software vendor.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins, and the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie, and Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Jordan Bosch. For more information on 7shifts, visit 7shifts.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.